This morning's gospel is certainly probably not the most comforting of all gospel readings. Our Lord uses some imagery that's probably a little off-putting for modern ears. You know, when we hear about servants being beaten, it's not exactly the same as "the Lord is my shepherd." You know, that's a little more comforting. But he uses the imagery that the people of the time would have understood. You know, they had servants and masters. And so he uses that imagery to teach some people some important truths about the afterlife. And so I want to look a little bit today about what Jesus is teaching in the gospel. And he's talking in this parable about the master returning, about the particular judgment, which is what happens at the moment of our death, when we individually stand before Jesus Christ. And he gives other parables about the general judgment, which happens at the end of time when the entire human race is there. But this is the particular judgment. And so he says, when the master returns, this would be, you know, when we stand before Christ individually, he gives four possible outcomes. The first is he talks about the servant who is faithful in doing the master's will when he returns. And that servant is blessed, and he receives everything that belongs to the master. He holds nothing back. You know, that servant receives an inheritance, and basically this is a place in the kingdom of God. And so that faithful servant is rewarded abundantly. The second servant commits evil. He hurts other, he beats the other servants. He's getting drunk. He's indulging in wickedness and evil. And when the master returns, the translation in the gospel is actually a little weak. The literal translation would be that he is cut in two and assigned a place with the unfaithful. And so this servant receives a permanent punishment, state of spiritual death that would be the result of committing mortal sin. And so he's cast out and assigned a place with the unfaithful. And so we see in these two examples that Jesus gives, heaven and hell. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with two options. He goes on for a third and a fourth servant. The third servant knew the master's will, but wasn't doing it. He wasn't prepared when the master returned. And unlike the second servant, he wasn't doing all sorts of evil. He wasn't beating the other servants. He wasn't getting drunk. But he wasn't carrying out the master's will the way he should have been. And so he wasn't prepared. And that servant is beaten severely. And then the fourth servant didn't know the master's will. He didn't know what God was asking of him to do, and he didn't carry it out, and he is beaten lightly. But this third and fourth servant, what they reveal is not a permanent punishment. It doesn't say that they're assigned a place with the unfaithful. But these two individuals, they receive a temporary punishment. And so this description that Jesus gives of a place that isn't heaven and it's not hell, and it's a place of temporary punishment, is what the church would later call purgatory. So what that is a place of punishment that's not permanent, it's not eternal, but it's meant to purify a soul that dies in a state of grace. You know, they are followers of Jesus Christ, and they're in a state of grace when they leave this world, but yet they're not perfected. And so purgatory is a place of purification for people who are imperfect and in a state of grace, where they're purified so that they can be prepared to enter into heaven. Protestant churches, when they broke away from the Catholic Church beginning in the 1500s, they deny the reality of purgatory. They say that there's only heaven and hell after we die. But that doesn't line up with what Jesus says in the gospel, because Jesus talks not only about the first and second servant, but he goes on for the third and fourth servant who receive a temporary punishment. And the reason I think I want to draw attention to this is to give us confidence that what the church teaches about the afterlife is built upon what Jesus himself taught and what we find in Scripture. You know, the reality of heaven, hell, and purgatory we can find in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so as we reflect upon this, you know, how does Jesus teach us to prepare for the master's return? Because this is, you know, there's nothing more important than preparing for eternal life. And so what he says at the beginning of the gospel is to sell your belongings and give alms. prepare for our judgment by works of mercy. Give alms, visit the sick, give food to the hungry. And we have not only the corporal works of mercy, but also the spiritual works of mercy. Praying for the living and the dead, you know, instructing people who do not know about the faith. And if we do these corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we'll be blessed. And so I encourage each one of us to take some time today to reflect over our past week and to ask the question, you know, go through the list of spiritual and corporal works of mercy and ask ourselves the question, are we carrying these out in our daily life? Are we doing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy? Because that's the very first criteria our Lord gives us in terms of how to prepare for his return. If we're not doing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, then start today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Today. You know, start today. This, another thing that Jesus teaches us about his return is not to be afraid. He says at the gospel, do not be afraid any longer, little flock. The Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. We shouldn't be afraid of God. If we're doing his will and we're doing what he asks of us, he wants to give us the kingdom. He's not placing artificial obstacles in our way and being like, let's see you get by this one. You know, let's see if you can make it into heaven if you can do this. He's not doing that. He wants us to attain eternal life. And so he gives us in the church every possible advantage and every possible grace that we need to attain salvation. He gives us baptism. He gives us the sacrament of confession as often as we need it. He gives us the Eucharist. He gives us the prayers of the entire church. And he gives us our guardian angel. He gives us all these ways in order to assist us on the path to eternal life. And so if we're doing the Father's will and we do what we ask of him, then we don't need to be afraid. What we're called to is to have faith, and a faith that's deep enough in the power of Jesus Christ to save us that it dispels our fear and gives us courage. And that's what the first reading is talking about from Wisdom. It talks about the first Passover when the Israelites were in Egypt. Now, without faith, the ceremony is ridiculous. Who would think that by slaughtering a lamb and by putting its blood above your doorpost that you're going to be saved from death and you're going to escape Egypt and escape Pharaoh? That's ridiculous. But with faith, the reason why they believed is because they trusted in God's promise. The Lord said, if you do this, I will deliver you from death and bring you eventually to the promised land. And so they put their faith in him. And they believed that if they went through the Passover ceremony, that they would be delivered from death and they would be liberated. The true Passover is the Mass. Do we believe in the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? And this is not an empty ritual or a ceremony that we come to. If we don't have faith, you know, why are we here this morning? It's a waste of time. But what we do is we trust in the promise of Jesus Christ. We believe in his words that this is truly the sacrifice of his body and blood. And if we receive the Eucharist worthily, we'll have eternal life. And so we're called to have a faith that's so deep and so profound that it overcomes fear and it gives us courage. That if we follow what the Lord asks of us, he will deliver us from eternal death and he will bring us to eternal life. And so as we reflect upon these teachings that Jesus gives us, first, we reflect upon the reality that the church's teachings accurately portray what Jesus Christ has taught us about the afterlife. And so we can have confidence in the church's teachings. And we also are reminded about the importance of spiritual and corporal works of mercy to make sure that we are integrating those in our daily life generously. And we're called to have a faith that dispels fear and gives us courage as we trust in the power of Jesus Christ.